I thank you very much to allow me to even speak here. I'm going to continue my message from last year. I'm going to talk about the railroad again. No, I am going to talk about the railroad, believe it or not, but it won't be all about the railroad. But I do appreciate the fact and all the work that goes into your conference. The people that are here that work and get it ready, I thank you very much. I'd like to thank Matthew, Wayne Barrett, Don for taking over. If you don't know what that's like, why don't you get up here and stand up here and try it? Why don't you try doing the work? People, you know, you come to the conference years ago, the Bible camp, you got there when it was finished. If you've ever been to the Bible camp, you wasn't there a month before. Right, Jerry? Yep. It looked terrible. The grass had grown, the red bugs is all over you and everything else, but when you got there, it was ready to go. Well, that's what they've done for you here, and it's really great. And the food's good, and preaching will be good all weekend, and I just appreciate the fact that I'm even allowed to be here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Tonight, I want to talk to you about the faith to go to light. I don't know if you'll understand. I hope I can get it over to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." He's speaking of a man born in Arkansas, probably. Verse 2. Yeah, that's where I was born. By the way, they checked my genealogy. I don't have any limbs on my tree. All went back to Tucker, I think. Prison farm and that, yeah, whatever. Verse 2. "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith," now this is what I want to talk to you about, "that your faith," now we will discuss the faith of Christ, but in the message, the concern tonight is your faith. That's what we want to key on tonight, your faith. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Now, if we continue to read down to, say, verse 12, you're going to find in this chapter that is a great, it's just chock full. It's just full of things that would help us to understand certain things, like the testimony of God. That's the testimony of God, the declaration in verse 1. The mankind, if we go on down, look with me in verse 9. "But as is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love Him." This issue is that mankind is unknowing of what God did. The third one would be the wisdom of God in verse 10. "But God hath revealed Him unto us by His Spirit." And the wisdom of God, as we go on down, the natural man does not receive it. We see that in verse 14. It's revealed to us by His Spirit. We see that in verse 10 again. "But God hath revealed Him unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man." How many?
No man.
"But the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world." Now that's not what keeps you alive. The Spirit is in you is the spirit of man. The spirit of the world is something that can be received, just like the Spirit of Christ can be received. And if you receive that spirit that's of the world, you're most likely going to have a testimony, but it's not going to be the testimony of God. Most people's testimony, if you ask them, "Are you saved?" is, "I walked the aisle, I asked Jesus in my heart, I gave my life to Christ, and I did all those things." And that's not the testimony of God. Testimony of God is based on the fact of what His Son did.
That's right.
And we look at this in verse 12 again, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So we know what the Spirit which is of God is for in that verse. It's to understand and to know about free things that God give us. Not things that are earned, not debt, but free. Verse 13, "Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." And it does not say spiritual things with spiritual things, does it? Well, what is spiritual in here? Might be something else in here. Did you ever read Romans 8:9? What are you? Are you in the spirit or in the flesh?
Spirit.
Well, I hope you're in the spirit. Well, then comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I mean, we're talking about man understanding in the chapter, are we not? And so if you could sit there and you had the Spirit of God in you, what could the Holy Ghost do? He could begin to compare, couldn't he? And teach you. I mean, I've had that verse quoted 100 times. Spiritual things with spiritual things. That is not what it says. It says spiritual things with spiritual. And as the Spirit teaches us, we have great peace if we'll allow it. And of course, Romans 8 says, or Romans 5, we're at peace with God. Yet that's not the Philippian letter. The peace of God is a whole new ballgame. And it comes from the Word of God, as you look at it, and the teaching and the comparing, the understanding. And folks, haven't you ever been to a point in your life when you could not understand why you're at peace with all the tribulation that was affecting you, and it was the Spirit working? I mean, you could be laying on your back in a hospital bed, absolutely in some serious trouble, and not fear. I heard Brother Steve say something about a jet ski one day. He said he fell down as he was knocked out. He said, boy, that would have been a way to go because I didn't know no different. Your fear of dying is the dread of how's it coming, isn't it? If you get sick, do you just lay there and say, praise God, I'm dying today? Or do you go to the doctor? Well, you go to the doctor. I mean, you're really brave, aren't you? You're a bunch of brave people. Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. There are probably people sitting in here saying, some of this stuff these preachers are going to say, this is foolish. Well, there could be a reason. Maybe you're a natural man. And that isn't hair under your arms, lady, and on your legs. The natural man, the born of Adam, and so forth. He that's spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Wow. We have the mind of Christ. Turn with me to Acts 26. I'll show you a guy that wasn't a friend of Jesus. He was an enemy. And God, by grace, called him. May the 17th, 1984, God dealt with a man that didn't deserve it. And as I told Brother Lockhart, on the side of the road at a rest stop somewhere going to Texas. You know, by the way, when you hit the Texas line, you still got 2 days to get to where Jerry is. Wow. I told Brother Jerry, I said, I'm saved by grace. And I said, why was everybody mad at me? There were people mad as fire at me because I got saved. You know why? In Acts 22, you read there that Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas waxed bold, and the people were mad at them. What's after Acts 13? It's all gone. What's after Acts 13? What'd they do to Paul?
Stoned him.
So they were happy with him, weren't they? They loved him. He was their friend. Acts 26:16. Paul said, well, I apologize, let's go to verse 15. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Arise, stand upon thy feet, for I've appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles ain't going to like him either. They don't like him at all now either. From the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. It's a lovely thing to be a Jew sent to a Gentile. Somebody asked me one time, where are you going to be a preacher at? I said, Selma. And they said, why? And I said, because there's lost people there. Why did Jerry go to Texas? Why did Steve go to Chattanooga? Why did Barry go to Montgomery? There are lost people there. You don't have to go over the big pond to be a missionary. How many of you know your neighbor? And you know, probably wouldn't have to beg any money to get to your neighbor. Probably walk over there free. And say, hey neighbor, I want to tell you the good news. What's that? Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried and rose again the third day and God forgave you. Isn't it simple? You're forgiven. You're sitting in this room forgiven.
Amen.
You don't have to get forgiveness. You are forgiven. You're going to have to receive it though. Okay? Verse 18, to open their eyes. Now listen, this thing's in order. It is comed. as in comma. It has commas in it. It has separation in it. It said to open their eyes. Who? Gentiles. Turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Now read with me. You did? Read. What's the next part? That they may receive. Why is it that people you talk to can't receive it? They ain't been turned from darkness. You're trying. But why are they in darkness? Well, 2 Corinthians 4:3, if our gospel be is hid to them that are lost, in whom? That in whom? They probably got another spirit. In whom the God of this world hath blinded. You're not born blind, folks. You're born natural. Somebody's working on blinding you in this world.
Amen.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. They joined something or they did something. Folks, it's not popularity context preaching. If you want to be popular, if you want to be the big guy in the world, then go along with the rest of them. Brother Moore and I was sitting in the office one day, and an offer came to preach on the radio in some island. And he said, Jerry, we got to make some tapes. And he said, we cannot preach the same thing they do on the airway because there's thousands of them. He said, we have to preach the word. One day we were making a tape, first time on 3/4 TV tape. We were trying to do something. Neither one of us knew how to do it. Brother Moore knew how to preach, but 3/4 tapes, he didn't know how to do it. Well, look at me. You think I do? So we're sitting in there and set it all up, and we're trying to get the lighting right and everything. You know, the light. You know, it's got to be right. You got to look at it, you know, and be able to see the blackboard. And, you know, light's got to be good. And he's preaching on the lineage of Jesus Christ in Matthew and Luke. We went through 30 minutes, first one. No sound whatsoever. He just up there going. That ain't what he said to me afterwards, but. So we tried it again. The wall plug blew out. I mean, it went poof. He looked at me and he said, let's go eat dinner. And I said, I'm with you. Took 4 times to make that tape. And he showed the difference between Mary's genealogy and Joseph's. The devil didn't want it out. You want your mouth to be hit? You want to get in trouble? You just go out there and preach the gospel in its simplicity. And don't worry about what people think about you. And don't worry about whether you're getting it right or not. The book is right, folks. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 is the gospel of your salvation. I was here one year, many years ago, and I said, turn to the gospel of your salvation. And it was quiet as a mouse in here. And I said, turn to the gospel of your salvation. And it finally, I said, turn to 1 Corinthians 15. And finally, I knew that. And Mark and I think it was Steve back there just dying laughing about it. You sit about where you are with then that day. The light. Who has the message to open eyes? Who has the message to turn you from darkness to light? Who has the message to take you from the power of Satan unto God? And if the message is received, what can you receive? I'd pretty well kill a confession of sin, wouldn't it? One of the big questions in all religion is you got to confess your sins. What are you confessing? Have you forgot one? Do you do it at night, but you might not wake up in the morning? Or do you do it in the morning and you might not wake up in the morning? Is it that I go to bed at night and I forget those sins and I wake up in the morning, that's when I'm going to confess, but I die during the night? Then what's going to happen? Well, them sins are going with me. Lovely thought. Lovely sleeping. I got to go to bed and say, boy, I hope I wake up to remember which ones I... Oh my gosh, Lord. No sleep there. That's what Jack Daniels is for. All right, that's enough. 1 Corinthians 2, one more time. So we've got a man that's got the message to do this, and it's the power of God. Now 1 Corinthians 2:5 again, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. All right, I want you to think about something. I want to use 3 words. In, of, I apologize, over here, of. Those 3 words, like that. Of, in, and of. People say ain't no difference in them. At least that's what the translations say. Turn with me to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Now, Paul's concern is their faith. The Corinthians, their faith. He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by what? If you've got a perverted Bible in here, that will not be of. So, do we have an of? Going one time, going twice. Okay. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed what?
Yes.
Okay, so that would be you. This here would be Christ, or Jesus Christ, if you want it, or the Lord Jesus Christ. There, okay? Verse 16, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified again by what? Okay, here is Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he hang at Calvary, before he got there, he went in the garden. In the Garden of Gethsemane, there's great distress. The distress he has is not dying. It's where he's going. People would love it if he just died like a dog, wouldn't they? But that wasn't what was going to happen to him. When he died on that cross, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And once he gives up that spirit, that body's going to die because the soul then has to leave. Once your body kicks off, and listen to me, somebody in this room tonight will be the first to die. I don't know who it is. Might be me. Maybe I won't make it back to the house. But I know where I'm going, do you? I had a Catholic the other night. I'm not supposed to say the word. I'm in the parish. I have a Catholic who's been coming to my class for 9 months in Panama City. The first night he walked in, he said, Sir, I would like to know what the Bible says. And I said, well, you come to the right place. Poor teacher, but you got the right Bible if you got a King James. We have dealt with that man and dealt with that man. Susie and Bill can talk about it. This man has made me almost go back to drinking. I'm ready to hit the shine. I told him in Panama, you people are driving me to drink. Every Monday he comes in because he's been to Mass. And he asked me a question. The other night he asked me, he said, Brother Jerry, what day do we worship the Sabbath? I said, why don't you turn to Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, and Exodus 32 and see if you agree. Well, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, read the law and said, keep the Sabbath holy, all that. But when I got to Exodus 32, he didn't like it. He said, if you defame or work or do anything on the Sabbath, be stoned to death. I said, when do you work? Yeah, I've worked on the Sabbath, he said. Well, why are you alive? I said, we've got some rocks back here. We just stone you to death. That reminds me, a man come in Sunday. He said, we're coming in here today. And he was kidding with me. He said, this is the day you're going to be baptizing, ain't it? I said, no, today we've changed it. We're going to be circumcising. He said, I'm not going. He said, I'll pass. Okay. I'm sorry. He declined. I said, we've got sharp shears that have been dull, but they'll be all right. He said, well, then I'm not under that, am I? And I said, no. But, go back to what I asked you. One time! Just remember this. Somebody in this room is going to die first. I don't care whether it's tomorrow or 5 years, somebody will be the first in this group. I said that to that man, and after everybody left, he was standing out in the parking lot. He come up to me, and I knew he was done for. And he said, Brother Jerry, is there any way to look in the Bible and see when you're going to die? Is that preparation? Somebody said, what would you do if the rapture is next week? I said, I'd buy me a Z06 Corvette. Why not? I want to see how fast I can go across America. What about the speeding ticket? Got to catch me. Well, what about you get killed? It don't matter. Say, well, that's cruel. No, I know that. But I said, what's the matter with you? I said, could it be that you don't know where you're going? He said, I'm not sure. I said, well, tell me something. And I can say, Ed, we're standing out in the parking lot. Tell me, could you say right out here in the open, in front of God, I'm going to heaven because you said so? And he looked at me and he said, I don't think so. Then he turned around and he come back to him and he says, I'm going to heaven. God said I am.
Amen.
I said, that's fine, Ed. I'll ask you next week and see how you feel. He come in the next week, got me. He said, Brother Jerry, I'm going to heaven. I said, why? Jesus Christ died for my sins. He's buried and he rose again. I said, Ed, great. Now quit going to Mass. Pat sits by him all the time. He'd drive you nuts, man. He'd come in there with stuff. But anyway. And by the way, if you're the first to go, we'll see you later. Galatians 2, there is a faith of, there is a faith in, and there's a faith of. Faith of Jesus Christ, he hanged at Calvary. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he was willing to die. When he died, his soul went down into hell and spent 3 days so that no one would ever have to.
Amen.
How long is 3 days? In hell. You're sitting out there and you may not know whether you're going to hell or not. You may be saying, well, I'm not sure there's a hell. There is. Luke 16 is very explicit on it. And on the third day, after the third day, you know what God did? He forgave you. He forgave you and raised his son out of that awful, awful place so that you're forgiven. Say, well, what do I do to get forgiveness? Let's say it again. Turn to the gospel of your salvation. And if you're not there, you might be lost. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Southern boy, I declare. By the way, the apostles got a notice from God not to ride in Toyotas. So they rode an Accord so they wouldn't hit the wall at Jerusalem with a stuck throttle. Sorry about that. Verse 2, by which also you are saved. Oh, wait a minute. I declare unto you the gospel, by which also you are saved. I declare unto you the gospel, by which also you are saved. I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you. Please God by the foolishness of preaching to save them to believe. Not psychology, philosophy, sociology, theology. Please God by the foolishness of preaching. He can take the dumbest hick in the world and let the gospel come out of his mouth and in spite of that fella, save somebody. Chief of sinners. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. If you're a preacher in here and you don't know what the gospel, then you ain't got that day. Somebody say, I don't know the day I got saved. Are you out of your mind? Say, I don't know the date. I ain't concerned about the date. What about the day that something changed in your life to where you realize I'm forgiven forever?
Amen.
Forever. It ain't going to be I get up tomorrow and God's not going to save me because I wasn't no good yesterday. Well, you wasn't no good then. You ain't going to be doing good that day either. I've had Bible classes leave for Romans 3, 10, 11, and 12. Just absolutely leave. The first Bible class I ever taught in Rogers, Arkansas, they would just leave by the peoples. Just going out. I'm going, what is going on here? I thought when you got saved that everybody wanted to hear it.
Right.
Mobile, Alabama had 23 leave in 13 minutes. I said, God, you've misled me. They're supposed to believe this. But there's a few stayed. I was telling Wayne today, had a man come to a Bible class in Rogers one night. I hope he got it. The next day he went and cut trees down behind the man that I lived, and they found him 12 hours later with a tree on his head. And he had done the snow thing in the sand and the leaves. He wasn't dead for a long time, but he couldn't move. But he came to the Bible class the night before. Hopefully he got it. A man and a woman walked in one night. I read Romans 3, 10, 11. I learned, read this, they get mad. I read it. The man jumped up out of his chair and he says, I'm leaving. You're a nitpicker.
Amen.
I'm not really sure what it means. I guess you pick nits. But he said, you're a nitpicker. And I said, why? He said, there's good people. I'm one of them. Okay. His wife was sitting there and he said, come on, we're leaving. She said, I ain't going. Now I'm in it. Domestic. I'm not going. He said, we're leaving right now. She said, why? Weren't we meant to come here and hear this? I mean, it's getting him. He jerked her up and out the door they went. She died the next week. What a shame. What a shame. If you're a newcomer in here and you're looking at the preacher, don't look at the preacher. Think about why somebody invited you here. Somebody invited you to hear the fact of verse 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Was Paul a good guy?
No.
You're kidding. He was in his own mind. As touching a righteous law, blameless. A Pharisee. Hebrew of the Hebrews. Look at my paperwork. I've got the DDS and Doctor of Divinity behind me. Candy bar. He said, I was the man. Taught of Gamaliel at his feet. And he said, all that was dung. Every religious act you ever did was dung. Dung is dead flesh. Unusable. Nothing crude about that when he stated that. It's dead flesh. Everything you got is dead. Everything you could ever do for God is dead. Jesus Christ's faith is what had to be. This man, the glorious, beautiful Son of Almighty God, lived a life loving the Father with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, and his neighbor, and was willing to give his life for a crude bunch of people like you and I. And when he died, he gave his soul up willingly to go into a place that we deserve. And God the Father forgave us and wants us to know that, but we won't know that with Peter. You know, the rock. That was another question that had. He said, you mean Peter's not the rock? I said, no, I think it's Jesus Christ. I said, Jesus saved the Pope enslaved. No hope in the Pope. That's lovely in the parishes, isn't it?
It's just the truth.
Folks, it's true. I can't win a looks contest, and I sure can't win a popularity contest, so I might as well just let it hang out. Listen, folks, if you're dependent on somebody else to get you to heaven, it better be Christ. And you can use him for a fire escape from hell. It's okay with God.
Amen.
He doesn't mind. Now, he really don't want you killing your grandma after you get saved. I cannot believe how many people say, is that a common saying among lost people? Is that their defense? I didn't want to kill my grandma when I was lost. And when I got saved, I wanted her saved, not dead. I hear people say, I go, where is this mentality coming from? Do you hate your grandmother that bad that you're looking for grace to kill her? My goodness. What was your first desire when you got saved, Jerry? That all men be saved. You thought they'd listen to you. They would listen to you. Did they?
No.
I didn't think so. Why didn't they? Because they've been blinded, most of them. You don't have to worry about the bar and the dance hall. Those people come out of religion. I'll bet you there's hardly anybody in this room that hadn't come out of religion by the power of God. Because in religion, you're blinded, boy. Now, he said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to Scripture. Sounds like good news to me. Good news, I can tell you. Well, the Apostle Paul said in turning to Colossians chapter 1, and this goes back to the railroad, okay? Now, I want you to think about something. You're riding down a track at 60 miles an hour. You've got 100-ton hoppers behind you. You're not going to stop very quick, maybe a mile. If they're loaded, you'll stop quicker than you will when they're empty. And you come over this hill, and there's a light on your track. Do you have the faith to continue at 60 miles an hour to the light? Same difference. You go down the highway on a foggy night, and you see a set of lights. What are you praying? They're on their side of the road. That they're on their side of the road. It takes faith to work certain jobs. You all have it in on your jobs and whatever. I have sit on trains 60 miles an hour and just hope with all I know that that character read his orders and he's in siding and he's ready to meet me. I hope he's meeting me right. Because if he ain't in his siding, I'm dead. I'm talking dead. Say, well, that's a big old engine. It'll save your life. No, it'll kill you. With 4 engines and 100, 200 cars, you're dead. That light you're looking at and going, hey, did he read his orders? I sure hope he did. Why don't you blow the whistle? Scare him. If he's blowing his whistle, we're going to blow ours back. Then we're going to turn the lights out so we don't see how we hit. It's a scary thing to think about meeting something. God gave us the right to go someplace no man hath ever gone. Sounds like Star Trek, doesn't it, or Star Wars? I want one other passage, 1 Timothy 6. In 1 Timothy 6... kind of a thought here. 1 Timothy 6, verse 15. which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings, Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which, read it with me, whom no man hath
seen.
God has given us the right by orders from the Apostle Paul to go to that light. You going to heaven? How do you know? When you go to a deep hole on a railroad, on a dark railroad, you have no signals. You have to work by orders and time, like we was talking about last year. There's two things you really got to make sure about. Your time, you got to read the orders. And the third one is important. Do not get on a train that the numbers aren't right. Somebody says, well, what does that make any difference? There's numbers on a train, on an engine. The head engine, the numbers on it have to match your orders. If they don't, and you get on that train, you're either fired or dead anyway. You're told in your orders, you read the orders in front of your conductor, or if you're the conductor, your brakeman, your engineer, your fireman, you sit and read the orders. The orders give you permission to get on that train, leave the depot. And then if you're meeting a train that's more important than you, you got to get in the siding, in the clear, get in the clear, or he'll hit you. Terrible thing. So, you read them, say, well, we got to be to such and such destination. We got to be in the clear by 10 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever the rule of that train order was, 15 minutes. And we have to sit and wait until they come. You better be in the clear. Now, what happens if you can't make it to that siding? You're dead. You got to run like you're on fire. Just run as hard as you can and put out a fusee way up there so that he sees that fusee and starts slowing down. You hope. You understand there are orders. There's ways that got to be the right way or you're not going to make it. The Apostle Paul turned to Romans chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1. I've went around curves and the headlight would be shining, hoping they were in the siding. I've went around, I drive 50,000 miles a year probably in Bible studies. And I look at the headlights coming at me and I said, Lord, is this the time that I come to you? I ride a motorcycle. You better be saved if you ride a motorcycle. Big Daddy Don Garlis, one time, Jimmy and Jimmy Brown and Brother Moore and I were over at the Cajun Nationals, I believe, wasn't it, Jimmy? And we run on to Big Daddy. Brother Moore said, are you saved? He said, man, are you kidding me? I wouldn't get in that cotton picking thing if I wasn't saved. And Shirley Muldooney was sitting there too, believe, wasn't she? And of course, she just had a terrible wreck. I mean, are you going to get in your car tonight lost? Bob said, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Whether you be in the faith, know you're not your own self, lest Christ be in you, lest you be a reprobate. Are you going to get in your car tonight and make it home? You better be saved in Baton Rouge, the way they drive. I was glad I was saved riding with Wayne. I've rode with people 100 mile an hour, 150 mile an hour. I have actually been in a car on the street 150 miles an hour. A Roadrunner, Plymouth, lost. I've hit a bridge upside down, turned over and hit a bridge upside down, lost. I've had motorcycle wrecks, lost. I could have been dead. But instead, May the 17th, 1984, the Lord let me have His forgiveness. Now, you want somebody to hear that. You want somebody to say, listen, I was lost, but now I'm saved. I was blind, but now I see. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. What a lovely thing that N-O-W is. Your mind works on you, doesn't it? How many of you have a mind that plays games with you? How many of you tried to do good and haven't been doing too good at it? How many of you been praying because you haven't been doing good? You're not very good at that either, are you? Okay, that's right. In the body of His flesh through death. There was a time in Bible history that somebody actually accomplished what God wanted. Adam failed and then passed the buck on to Eve. The woman thou give me. I always said, Lord, give me another. She sinned. I have people that quote the verse that said, let God be true and every woman a liar. I usually tell when they're having divorce troubles. Yeah. There's actually a man that lived on this earth that loved us in spite of ourselves for God's will. There are things, the terminology of the love of the truth. A man loved the truth enough to die for it. There's two men in the Bible that really emphasize that. Of course, the Lord. Did He love the truth enough to die for it? Did the Apostle Paul? Yes, he did. And his suffering was that we could have letters that we could read and walk around with great confidence, knowing that we're not under anything. We're Gentiles who will eat anything, do anything, say anything, but that God loved. If you looked in this room and you looked at yourself, what would you tell God to impress him? I don't know of any other thing. Have you actually looked at your life and said, Lord, look at me. I'm not like Jerry Lockhart. Thank God. I'm not like Brother Jerry. No, you don't want to be. My wife wouldn't marry me. She'd known me. There's a plate on the front of my wife's car that says Wonder Woman. You dirty-minded old man. I know who you're thinking about. Her little red, white, and blue stripes there. You know, I know who you're thinking about. Linda Carter! No, that ain't what it's about. Wonder Woman. It's a wonder she stayed with me 34 years. I made it down to Panama City, had them paint it, and I put it on her car. And I believe that. She's the better half. Great woman. Wouldn't have married me if she'd known me. I don't even like me. But my Lord loved his Father, and his faith finished what I could never do. He died for my sins, and God satisfied. He was buried. He suffered 3 days of the most awful suffering that could ever be imagined by a soul. And then let God raise him. And he forgave Barry. He forgave Don. He forgave me. How about you? Are you sure? Are your orders right? Are you sure you're going to get to meet that light and go to it? You may not be invited. You might have the wrong numbers on your train. And it'll be the worst train wreck ever happened. Are you saved? Are you sure? Are you playing a game? Preaching to me is not a game. Witnessing to me is not a game. Being a pastor is not a game. And it sure ain't a gain. Well, ain't no gain in it. Fried rabbit tracks and fresh air. Brian had it right, didn't he? But you know what? Paul said it would be great joy, and you'd be my joy, if you stood there with me. This conference is about your soul. Can you trust him? Can you trust that God made you meet to be partaker? And you know what? As I was reading the other night in the Bible class, some passages in Ephesians. Just for a second. Romans chapter 1 said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Turn with me to the Ephesian letter. What do the people in Matthew expect to inherit?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Then what did they really not expect to do? Or die. Right? Well, I don't expect to die either. I think Hank had it wrong. He said he saw the light. The Bible said he didn't. The Bible says that we which are alive and remain should be caught up. You can get out of this old world alive. Correct? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained, and it's not the inheritance. It's an. And it's not and. It's inheritance. Why? Well, I know somebody's going to inherit the earth. It said so. I know there's somebody going to inherit a city. Said so. Name's written on it. But I find that somebody here has an inheritance. And it's being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. What are we going to be allowed to go to? The light which no man hath approached unto. Have you ever got down and thank the Lord God that you get to go to a place that nobody else got promised? You get to go out there and see why he made it the way he did. We get to see Roswell. We get to see the IRS get it. A man in trouble. You don't want to kill your grandmother, do you? We get to see the holy tabernacle that God laid out. Oh my gosh. We get to see Paul. We get to see our Lord and Savior face to face. Somebody said, oh God, can't hardly wait for that. Now, what are you thinking about, huh? You thinking maybe your sins are piling up? I heard a man preach that one time. Your sins pile up, and when it gets so high, then God takes you. I said, could you give me the measurements on that? I want to make sure I'm short of it. What a stupid thing. I heard a man one time say that God's Son took some of his blood up to the altar up there and poured it out. I hear some strange things, but I never hear good things on the radio or TV of the fact he died for our sins. I hear, he died for our sins. Oh, I know that. He died for our sins. But we've got to impress him with our ability to turn from sinning. Who's done that? How many of you have turned from your sins? How many of you turned from your sins tonight when you're eating? You gluttonous. I tried. You wouldn't. He said, it's a lost cause. Sorry, Lord. How many of you cleaned up your act in your life and tried to please God? Really? It's a bunch of liars. You did too. I'll never do that again, Lord. If you just get me out of this, I'll never do that again. I promise. Cross my heart. Fingers crossed. How many cleaned up? You washed up, but you didn't clean up. Paul said, in whom also we have. What's have? It's there for your taking. The thing that Brother Moore always made effective was the dollar bill. The dollar bill represents the righteousness of God, which you have not, can be yours if you receive it. In the last 10 years, I've never had one person say that they received it. They said, because you gave it to me. God's been trying to give you his righteousness since you were born. It's the only way you're ever going to get it is to receive it. And you'll hand that dollar out and you say, do I owe you anything? No. Do I owe you anything? No. I say, would you take this? And they look at you and go, well, what's the motive? What do you got in mind here? Now, if you hand them a 20, they'll take it. A dollar? What if you were hungry and that would buy two McDonald's? Would you take it then? What if you were hungry and somebody come up to you and had a $5 bill and they said, do I owe you anything? No. Well, I'd like to give you this. And you were so hungry that you probably would have washed their car to get money. And they reach out and take it. Say, okay, what makes it yours? Well, you gave it to me. Folks, you can't have it unless somebody's offering it to you. It represents the righteousness of God, the justification of God, the forgiveness of God. And God's offering it to you. But if you try to beg, borrow, or steal it, it ain't yours. And then the next thing they do once they got it is try to give it back to you.
Yeah.
You Indian giver. I'm not an Indian giver, folks. You can have the dollar bill. $100, might give it back. Give me change. It amazes me. So I started thinking about it, and I got $2 bills, those Anthony's or whatever, and I got one that was absolutely new, and I got one that looked like it went through the flood. And I did this, and I said, if I gave you a choice of which one you wanted, which one would you take? That's not a hard choice. Every woman in here, take the shiny thing. Baubles. Every man look in there, and that's gold looking. And so they reach for the new looking one. You know what? God made you holy and without blame before him in love. Or would you rather have that old dirty one? Would you rather be in the eyes of God somebody that's destined to die in death? Or would you rather be the person that has eternal life in Christ Jesus? It's your choice. Examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith. That's your choice. Your choice tonight. Someone has else died for your sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day, triumphing over death. God has abolished death. You can receive the fact that death has been abolished. You can receive the fact that God is satisfied, that he will not hold you accountable for how you're born and what you do as far as sin. Or you can walk out of here and get in your car and talk about the foolishness in that church. You can talk about, boy, they talk about Paul a lot and they talk about the gospel a lot. They really don't get into the deep things. I think we've been talking about the deepest thing of all. Hid, the natural man don't receive. Trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God hath forgiven you. Receive it, and God Almighty will seal you with the righteousness of faith that God Almighty has done through His Son. Amen.
Amen.